so that I can know that sometimes things can turn to be very ugly. So I want to make it appeal, Honorable Members. Maybe we don't want people to be proud of us, but let's just make our courage, wherever they are, to look at us and say, he's making a point. It's just a shared threat that I have. Like I said again, that I don't have to attend any childhood development conference because I'm dealing with old people, adults, probably somebody could be grandfathers and so forth. Let's just understand it's not our choice. It is the choice of the people of South Africa. But most importantly, it's our parties that have put us here. So I just want to make that appeal that whatever we do, we have a fiduciary duty and a political mandate to deal with the issues, whether we like or we don't like them. The truth is, we must deal with them because they're in front of us. Having said so, I will go later to some of the issues that I think are important to note. One of those is that will be the issue I will share with members about the decisions we took as a committee on the basis of the correspondence we received from the Speaker and the other matters that we had to attend. I will give the members. The only thing I will also share is that it seems the tray is getting more thicker with the complaints that are coming, and which we will share again with members what we just received. But as we said, so are there any apologies?
Thank you, Chair. The following apology to the Bula, detaining Kompang Dava.
Good morning, members and guests. Of course, also apologies from Ms. Konyane of Greek, Ms. Mugwela, and Ms. Mugwela is running late.
Okay, those are the privileges of two lieutenants. Apologies can come from either. Okay, honorable members, today we are dealing with the presentation that was given to us in terms of the private members bill presented to us by Honorable Manzoni. Today, I'm carrying the rules book so that whatever we do, I must stick to the rules. First, let me start by raising that any member of parliament is allowed to bring any relevant legislation for the attention of parliament, and that legislation would be referred to the relevant committee. I think that is the first thing. And given that committee will then have to make a consideration of the bill presented, and that is exactly what we tried to do. And I have said that we tried our level best to follow what is the best requirements in terms of the procedure. Because one of the things is that when you deal with a bill, even at its final stages, the potential is that it could be successfully challenged on the basis of failure to follow the required processes of that bill. So we are trying our level best that at a procedural level, surely the fault should not be on the side of the committee in whatever we do.
Where is my legal person? He is needed. That is why we have always then also requested that the Parliamentary Legal Service will have to be here so that when we take decision, we can be guided. That is the only thing that they can do, is to guide us whether we are following legally what we are supposed to do. What we can't do is to tell us what we must do with the bill. The bill is for us to deliberate on it. All what is going to, we can help us is to guide us on the procedure. So we'll be dealing with the bill in the context of that procedure. Given the fact that I think then I must also raise this point because it was raised. Any member of parliament, like I said, can preside. It doesn't change that member is no longer is not a member because of the bill in the private member's bill. That member enjoys all the privileges of being a member of parliament. There is no stage where, because of that bill, ceases to be a member of parliament because of presenting. It's still a member of parliament. The only issue is that the parliamentary system that we have used to recognize the party in power, that it can introduce the bill, or parliament itself can introduce the bill. So having said so, the last point on this I must raise is that I've met with the chairperson of public enterprise, because I think I will not be doing justice if I don't share. He had raised, not an objection, he had raised the interest that they would have loved to just look at what is proposed and probably, even if it's not a joint committee, but they be allowed, because they are not familiar, but they understand that whatever this process we do, consequentially it may have implications with where they operate. They don't question, we know policy, that's where it resides. So I said, well, I would know, it might be, except if they were, if it has got an interest, except if they were to write properly to the committee. I know it may be procedures, but I will find it very difficult to take a decision of my own on the matter. I think, unfortunately, they might also be meeting, as well meeting, they may raise an issue. So I'm just saying, members must be aware that when a person comes to you and say, but we do have an interest on this bill that you are dealing with, or any matter that you are dealing with that may have implications on us. So I want also to place that. I didn't make any commitment. I just said it might have been proper if we received probably a request to say, please, as you deliberate, but that's what they said, as you deliberate, consider that we are also having an interest on what you are dealing with. Having said so, honourable members, whilst I will still be looking at the procedure, it would be my privilege to now invite you on the presentations that were made by the honourable member, honourable Mazoni, and what the department had put. Now, if the ball is in our court, here is a proposed bill. I think they will give honourable members. We will deal with the rest of the procedure including the fact that if members want to have a bite on the other matters that relates to what I said with regards to, for an example, the chair of public enterprise. So, for now, let me hear from you. Honorable Mylem, any taker? Okay, for now it seems still only you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to respond to some of the issues raised by the department at our last meeting. Specifically, let me start with the constitutionality of the bill. When this bill was tabled before this committee, Honourable Mazzoni and her legislative assistant handed up to the committee secretary a certificate of compliance from the state law advisor regarding the constitutionality of the bill. And frankly, the department is reading too much into this bill to say that it is unconstitutional. Let me explain why. This bill seeks to handle the transmission element of electricity. It does not seek to take over the distribution element of electricity. Distribution is a function of municipalities, and it leaves that in the hands of the municipalities. What it seeks to do is manage the transmission side of things. So to suggest that it is unconstitutional because it is taking over the powers and functions of municipalities is not true. And I was not given the opportunity to unpack that with the department as to why they thought it was the case, because there's nothing in this bill that actually refers to that. Chair, the second thing that the bill, that the department had a problem with this bill around was that they said it sought to take over the powers of the minister with regard to planning. Now, first of all, legislation can change other legislation. I mean, that's just a given. So if we introduce a piece of legislation today that changes an older piece of legislation, then the older piece of legislation falls away, and the new legislation then becomes the law. But that's not what's happening here, because what the department said was happening was that the EMO bill at section 6.1, and let me just read it to you, was seeking to take over the ministerial function of planning for electricity and energy as provided for in the Electricity Regulation Act. And what 6.1a says, in relation to planning, EMO must model scenarios at regular intervals for the purpose of developing the integrated resource plan and provide the results of the modeling to the minister. In other words, the ultimate decision remains with the minister for the purpose of developing the integrated resource plan. Now, let me say up front that any legislation is subject to negotiation. I mean, we're willing to work with everybody to make sure that this is a functional piece of legislation. It aligns with what the minister himself has said. It aligns with what Parliament passed in 2013 in terms of the ISMO bill, which was subsequently withdrawn, and I still haven't been able to find out the reason why it was withdrawn. And the department at the meeting the other day said that they didn't know why Parliament had withdrawn the bill. So essentially what we have here is a bill that seeks to do what everyone is saying we must do, including the minister, including the president, including the market, including international investors, including the world economy. They're all saying we need to do this, and this bill seeks to do that. But let's work together to actually make it a reality. Let's make it happen rather than sit and wait. There were a couple of other objections from the department that I'd like to address. The first was that of shareholders. And this is in Section 31C of the Act, of the bill, sorry, where it says that the state shall not be a shareholder. The rationale for this is that this is a similar model that has been applied in public-private partnerships across South Africa wherever they are introduced. What it does not mean is that the state does not have any say, because the minister still appoints the chairperson, the deputy chairperson, and three other directors of the 10 directors. So of the 10, half are appointed by the minister, and that includes both the chairperson and the deputy chairperson of the board. The other five directors, the five that come from the private sector or from the community or wherever they may arise, are experts in their relevant fields. In other words, they're there to provide technical knowledge. Then the department had a problem with special tariffs. And this is in Section 37 of the bill. And what it says in Section 37, if I can read it to you, is that in Section 37, subsection 4, EMO is permitted to enter into special tariff arrangements with high-end users, provided that a register of these high-end users is kept by EMO and tabled in Parliament annually together with its annual report. Now, that is no different from what the current situation, in fact, it is a little bit different from what the current situation is with Eskom, because Eskom don't really report annually on who their high-end users are. But Eskom does have the right to enter into special tariff agreements with high-end users, and they have done so in the past. And we know this. We know that the intensive users get a much better deal than anybody else. We know that other countries get a better deal than anybody else. And so I think we need to be cautious about saying that this is something new, because it's not. It just seeks to make sure that it is reported on a regular basis. The last thing that I'd like to address at this point, Chair, is Section 40, because the department said that this bill discriminates against municipalities. And frankly, it doesn't. What it says is that metro municipalities who have the capacity, who have the competency, proficiency, and innovation in the management and maintenance of their electricity reticulation may purchase directly from a generator. And that metro municipality must have received a clean audit report in the preceding financial year, and it must be conducted in an open and transparent manner and the result of a competitive bidding process. So it's not saying that the minister, in terms of the Electricity Regulation Act, Section 34, can't allow another municipality to do that. What it's doing is shortcutting the process for metros that have the financial resources, that have the technical skills, that have the reticulation and distribution ability, and have got a clean audit, to actually fast-track direct procurement from a power producer, whether that power producer is Eskom or an independent power producer. So I think that the department was leading us down the garden path a little bit here. And we need to take all of that in mind when we evaluate this bill and the desirability of this bill. Chairperson, like I said at the beginning, this bill seeks to put in place a structure to address, first of all, the energy crisis, the electricity crisis in South Africa that we face right now. We have load shedding stage 2 currently underway, and we're likely to have it according to Eskom for 2 years and according to energy experts for anywhere between 3 and 5 years. It also seeks to open and allow a much more transparent grid. And when I talk about the grid, I'm talking about the transmission, the middle section of our electricity infrastructure. It's making sure that remains a national asset. And it's seeking to do what we set out to do as Parliament, what the President has said he wants to do, what the Minister has said he wants to do, when we introduced the ISMO Bill several years ago, and which we passed as the National Assembly in November 2013. So, Chair, With that, I may come back with other comments later, but that's my input for now.
Okay. Anything from other members? Honorable... Honorable Phillips, Honorable Malinga, and then Honorable Mahlaule.
Thank you very much, Chair. One thing that I would just like to also point out, and it's very much a reassurance to everybody, under the functions of EMO, point number 6, 6.3A, it says, in relation to market operation, EMO must buy electricity from a generator or an external trader in line with government policy. So here again, there's nothing that's been taken away from the people or from government. There is actually a point to address that, and it's going to be done in line with government policy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the members of the committee and the guests in our PC. Chairperson, I don't understand why we need this bill, because we assist as this committee with the IRP that the minister has just pronounced. And IRP is giving the how part on how to secure energy supply in the country. So I don't agree that this EMO will bring anything different from what the minister is saying with the IRP. Yes, the president has pronounced that municipalities who can afford to supply electricity to themselves, they can do so. But IRP is also on that one. Again, Chairperson, the functions of EMO. Manage the electricity system in an efficient manner that ensures financial viability. Isn't that the duty of ESCOM, which is the state entity? Chairperson, also, can we be certain that this bill is not stealing from ESMO that was first introduced in Parliament? It's just that the only thing that is different now is the wording or the crafting of the bill. Can we be certain as the committee that the ideas are not the same ideas that were presented, that were withdrawn by Parliament? If so, how possible it is, because that bill was assisting the security of energy in the country. How possible it is, because I think that when the bill is passed in Parliament, all necessary steps are followed, your public hearings and everything. Can we resuscitate ESMO, Chair? That would be what I want to put on the table for now, Chair. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Chair. We want to premise our presentation or our submission differently from responding to what the department has done. We want to take it from what was presented to us by Honorable Mazzoni. Of course, we'll consider what the department has said, but we want to make our submission as part of the committee. Now, we want to first invite the committee or members of the committee and the public to first and foremost imagine EMO as an invitation to Parliament to establish by legislation some person, jurisdiction person, who would be known as the Independent Electricity Management Operator. The reason we invite you to imagine it as a person is to show how the private part of ownership is problematic. Now, you first anticipate that when you have this bill, first and foremost, the ESCOM assets, property, including intellectual property, the rights, liabilities, and stuff currently applied for the purposes of function will be performed now by IMO, this juristic person. Now, where do we find a problem there? Why would government, first and foremost, enact a legislation which has the effect of transferring the public-owned national grid and associated assets that I've mentioned, including rights, liabilities, to a privately owned company? The question would be, who would compensate ESCOM for those assets that would be transferred? Because nowhere in the IMO bill or provisions considerations are made around payment to ESCOM for the national grid and associated assets, rights, liabilities, and property. There's no way it's referred to. And we think that that is problematic because there's not clear or clarity of what the consequence would be for assets, rights, liabilities, and property which are not capable of being ceded, transferred, or assigned to EM. We find that problematic. Let me give you an example. Whether the transfer of such asset to EMO will give rise to any breaches of ESCOM, of any of its bonds and loan agreement, or trigger an event of default from ESCOM, which may in turn result in government guarantees being called on if ESCOM cannot remedy the breach or the breach is not addressed. That's just one problem. And we think it would be a risk for Parliament to enact a legislation that provides for the transfer of assets, rights, liabilities, property of ESCOM to a third party without understanding the consequences for ESCOM and the entire government from a financial indebtedness perspective. That is one. Linked to that, the ESCOM staff, employees who are involved in the functions to be performed by IMO will either become unemployed or employees of this juristic person called IMO or be seconded. We find that problematic. Now, that's the first point. The second point we want to raise is that what seems to be government policy now on the restructuring of the electricity supply industry would be most recently reflected in the roadmap of ESCOM in a reformed electricity supply industry released by the Department of Public Enterprises in 2019, which provides a functional and a legal separation of ESCOM generation from ESCOM transmission. Not the transfer of ownership of the national grid to a private sector, to this juristic person called
emu. Now, the third point, Chair, we want to raise is that with emu, it is not clear why it would be in the interest of the state or South Africans for the national grid to be in private hands. Just that. Or would it be consistent or inconsistent with the international best practice for the state to be divested of the national transmission power system assets, which constitutes a very critical infrastructure within the electricity supply value chain? Would it be in the best interest of any country to do that? Which best practice have we looked at and we want to bring to South Africa? We must not make South Africa an adventurous country that would do things that is not in best interest of South Africans. Now, Chair, the fourth point we want to raise is that although the Section 37 of the bill envisages that EMO making tariff applications to, it will be making tariff applications to NERSA, and I think it's the point that Honorable Mailer made, that it also permits EMO to enter into special tariff arrangements with the high-end users. The ambit which EMO is putting is very unclear on that. It also envisages that EMO's normal cost will be covered by the tariffs, fees, and charges levied by it for services rendered, without any indication of how this will be achieved and what the consequences of not achieving it would be. Now, arguably, Chair, we can say that it's also inconsistent with ERA with regards to tariffs and cost recovery where are concerned. It purports to regulate matters relating to the cost recovery as well as matters relating to tariff fees and charges, which are also regulated by ERA with respect to all licenses. And we're saying, Chair, these are the considerations that we must put. But probably the last point, Chair, and I'm very happy today you are giving us more time so that our preparedness can be better articulated there. Even though we nominally want EMO to be, or it is a private company, it should be considered an organ of the state. And here I want to speak to the constitutionality that was raised. And it is by virtue, amongst others, why it should be considered a public organ, amongst others, is that the public functions that will be performed by it places it to have a constitutional obligation that state organs, that applies to state organs, all state organs. Now, the rationale of creating a private
company to execute public functions in itself is very problematic, even from the word go, because there are no clear reasons why a private company will be better, be a better juristic as an entity than a public entity to perform matters that have constitutional obligations of a public entity. Now, with those 5 points, Chair, maybe I will come back. We just thought let's move not from the premise of what the department may have said, they may have been wrong or right, but our observations in this regard places us where we are. And as such, we do not think that EMO is a bill that needs to be supported. Rather, create mechanisms, parliamentary mechanisms, to resuscitate ISMO. I know technically there would be an argument that there's no ISMO because it was withdrawn. But I don't think there's something that stops us from reintroducing within the prescripts, legally and otherwise, of Parliament to reintroduce ISMO as a bill. I thank you. Chair, let me start by saying that Honourable Mazzoni said right up at the front when she presented this that EMO sought to bring back ISMO, that it was based on ISMO. So there's no stealing here. She said, this is what was proposed and it's what we want to see and it's what South Africa wants to see and it's what everybody wants to see. And if we sit and try and resuscitate another bill when we have this one before us, let's work with what we have before us. If it's not right, we can introduce another bill later. But for now, let's work with what we have before us rather than trying to resuscitate something that's going to take a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years to resuscitate. Because that's the reality. We have an electricity crisis right now. We don't have an electricity crisis in 5 years. Right now, our economy is going through the floor because of electricity and load shedding. So let's work with what we have before us. Just on the question of international examples, there are a number. Brazil, Australia, Norway, the Netherlands, Argentina, Colombia, the USA, where independent system operators have been introduced to manage the transmission of electricity, not the distribution. The distribution remains with the municipalities, to manage the transmission from the power generator to the municipality. As far as the private part is concerned, I think there's being too much emphasis placed on the word private. South Africa has any number of private-public partnerships, triple Ps. They are a model that works. They are a model that is efficient. They are a model that we should be using far more of. And it doesn't take away from the state to enter into those. There are examples in healthcare. There are examples in the electricity sector. There are examples in the energy sector. And so to say that this is a private entity is misleading. But we can change that.
If we have a problem with the shareholding, let's change it. The idea here is that we work together. The president in his State of the Nation said that he calls on the private sector to work with government. This is our opportunity to do that. This is our opportunity to work with the private sector. This is our opportunity to show people that we can build a partnership between government and the private sector to solve South Africa's problems. As far as compensating Eskom is concerned, the issue here is that it's not just the assets that would be transferred, it's the assets and the liabilities of Eskom that would be transferred. And it's not all the assets and liabilities, it's those relating to the transmission grid. In other words, the power stations would remain part of Eskom. But the transmission, the movement of electricity from those power stations to the municipalities, and the management and the planning and the personnel associated with that, and the assets and liabilities associated with that, that would move to this entity. We can look at some compensation for Eskom, but I don't think that one arm of the state should be compensating another arm of the state to do that job that they're failing at. And the comment was made, why should we be doing this? Why should we even be looking at this? The answer is because Eskom is failing so horrendously. I mean, we need to face facts here. Eskom is failing. And it cannot keep on doing what it's doing. We cannot keep shoveling money into Eskom and expecting a different outcome. So we need to change things up a bit. And we need to allow a much more transparent and open market for the generation and supply of electricity. And we can do that by allowing an independent market operator, management operator, to manage the purchase and resale of electricity to municipalities. There was a comment made about the tariffs in Section 37 of this bill. And I'd like to refer the committee to Section 37.1, which says that EMO can recover these tariffs, provided that it is not prohibited from levying such tariffs in terms of other legislation. So where another piece of legislation, like the Electricity Regulation Act, says you can't do that, then it can't do that. It's provided for. But if we need to amend this, let's amend it. Let's fix it. Let's make it work. Rather than throw the baby out with the bathwater, let's actually try and make this work. Let's not say, let's wait for ISMO to be reintroduced, because we're going to be waiting 5 years for ISMO. Let me not go there. My point is that we have a bill in front of us that can help our electricity crisis. Let's deal with that.
Oh, I was waiting for that. I'm finished.
Oh.
Oh,
I was waiting for the full stop. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson.
Let me congratulate you once you are still starting, so that you don't fear off. You are doing well. That's what we want. We want ideas. Let's engage. So you are doing well. I must congratulate you. So that so far you are doing well. So that when you off ramp, I must tell you now it's a complete detour. So continue. Not you, Mapula. I'm just saying, when the debate is starting, it is a debate, which is good.
No, thanks again, Chairperson. You know, I've got a very serious problem, Chairperson, and I don't want us to take that approach, both as a committee and parliament as a country, and subscribe to a notion that wants us to behave as if everything that is privately owned is inherently progressive. I don't think we must move from that particular premise. It's not a premise that it's supported by many people in this country. If you look at this bill, Chairperson, and what it seeks to achieve, I asked myself a question, and I've asked Honorable Mazon when she presented before the committee, that it's in whose interest? Because surely we cannot stand here as a committee and boldly say that it is in the interest of the people of this country. Well, it's not. Eh? It is not. Anybody would want to say that this bill will be in the best interest of this country would be lying. That would be a fallacy. This is just but an attempt to introduce private owners, because there are people who believe, they might not say it loudly, but there are people who believe that this government is incapable, therefore it must be helped by private individuals. I don't agree with that particular notion. I also have a problem with its shareholding structure. If we have a shareholding structure where the minister would appoint five and private entities will appoint another five, what we are then saying indirectly is that those private entities enjoy the same powers as our government, because in terms of the structure there will not be a clear balance. So it will be very unfortunate, Chairperson. So I don't think this is a bill we have to support. Why don't we give the current ESCOM turnaround strategy an opportunity? Why are we setting the horse among the wagon? Why are we not allowing the restructuring that is currently taking place, that necessary space? Give it time, give it life, and see what is it that will happen. But I don't think as a committee this is a bill that we should be supporting. Thank you.
Sweet.
Yes,
thanks, Chair. And good morning, colleagues. Well, a few issues here, Chair, would be that one of taking what is the country's resource and giving it to private. I think I would also echo to the sentiments of the colleagues, because if you say that you are going to take the main mineral resources and give it to private ownership, you are putting yourself in a position to be exploited as a country. Now, which we do not want. Yes, we do agree with the private public partnership, but it must be managed in a way that the state does take great ownership. And I must actually say that private partnership won't be something that is new, but it must be looked in a way which does not therefore strip the state or government of its responsibility to deliver on electricity for our people, because it is already there in the constitution that government must provide for that. Now, this continues to say the EMO will not be an SOE. So it won't be under the state. So the functions of ESCOM thereof are stripped off. Now, when you go down, it goes to the transition of the transitional provision. It says the minister must publish in the government gazette a notice with the date for the transfer of assets. Must publish in the government gazette a notice with a date for the transfer of assets. The main things that are important to us, the minister must. Because I want us to also factor, when you go through the bill, it continues to, there are certain issues where the minister may, which are not important. There's a lot of maze. But on this one, that speaks to the actual asset, the actual mineral resource, it says the minister must. So I think in us looking at the bill, we must also consider those kind of things. And but I also want to say that let us give the IRP a chance to outplay, and the unbundling of ESCOM to outplay itself. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Before I go to Honorable Malinga, I don't know Honorable Vilankulu, but Honorable Mahlaule raised an issue with me outside. I'm not sure how much he wishes to be said, but he has got a bereavement at home. So that is why honorable members, they see him coming in and out. He did share with me that there is a bereavement at home, so he's attending to that. I should have said it when we started the meeting. Okay, thank you, Honorable Mali.
Thank you, Chairperson. Resuscitation means when somebody has collapsed, you apply CPR. Then the person gets up. In simple terms, it's there. It's not as if it was thrown up, it's there. Because this takes from that bill. I don't want to go to what Honorable Kula and Honorable Newman said. But, Chair, I want to concur.
There's the IMP, when you read it, it says it's a live document. A live document that continuously can be ever when a minister. E-mobile is talking about the same thing that IMP is talking about.
Hello? Okay. E-mobile Chair is talking about something that the IRP is seized with. I'll repeat that. Mixed energy. When the honorable member came, when that member came to present, he said, he even cited examples that in some areas you have a wind, you have wind, you have gas, you have what. It's mixed energy. IRP is busy with that. Like Honorable Kula is saying, why are we putting the horse before the cart? We don't even want to give the unbundling of Eskom an opportunity. I don't understand, Chair. What is so difficult to give this an opportunity? They say here, waiting on Eskom is collapsing the economy. The economy has collapsed because of the load shedding. That is why the minister has introduced these IRPs, he has introduced these IPPs. Why can't we give them an opportunity to work? Why are we contesting the terrain of the minister? Why are we contesting the terrain of Eskom as a state entity? A state entity that is supposed to ensure that there is enough supply of electricity in the country. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Tenzan.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody. Thank you also, Chairperson, for offering us this opportunity also to share our feelings amongst ourselves or together as a committee concerning this issue of immobile. Well, my colleagues have said it Chairperson, loud and clear. Chairperson, this is South Africa. And as far as all of us, we remember, we fought the system before 1994, years back. until 1994 when we said we don't want to hear anything with a system or a government that thinks only for the minority but not for the majority. My point here is, when we went on election in 1994, we elected this government, which we call it a democratic government. And then it came up with its plan, a plan which is interested, or a plan which will be interested for the whole people of South Africa. Now, we got Eskom here. And Eskom remains the government property. And then, since 1994, because one speaker has just said it loud correctly, that since the beginning of the democracy, the minority, they still got a qualm, if I may put it that way. They got a problem to say a black person cannot run a country. And here we are seeing this thing now, right now. And this is a serious issue. We are being told that this is the interest, this Imo Bill is the interest of the people of South Africa. It's not. I'm a South African. I don't agree with that. And many more others who are sitting somewhere, they don't agree with such things of privatization. How can you move from democracy and then you go back to privatization? This is an insult to the South African people. Because now you want to create two centers of power here. We've got one center of power, which is the state. Yes, we know Eskom is a failure for now. But that doesn't mean that it's failing because it's a government property. No. It's failing because the management there is not running it correctly. The issue here is the management of Eskom, not Eskom itself. So, it is now not correct now to come here and say Eskom is having a lot of load shedding now because it remains a government property. No, it's not correct. This is just only a setup, and it's good now that because we see exactly what is happening. Because this is the self-exposure, if you may say so. Because there are people somewhere who want to see Eskom fail, so that they can then come up with these emo stories. And we cannot agree that. We can't agree to involve Eskom in issues of private. Instead, we are saying we rather maybe come up with plans, proper plans from the government which was elected by the people, even those people who elected us and sent us here. They will be very much surprised if they can hear that today we supported issues of privatization of Eskom. Because as we speak now, we've got a serious problem at Eskom. But as we say, the problem is not that Eskom is not privately owned. And also there is this notion, yes, of believing that anything that is private is successful. It's not true. It's definitely not true. The success of any organization or government or entity or anything, it remains with the management. That's it. There are a lot of contradictions here in this emo thing here. There are a lot of contradictions. Because you find where it says the state will never, or the minister will never be a shareholder, or the state will never be a shareholder for that matter. But then, on the other hand, they want the minister to sign some documents for incorporation and all those things. How do you explain that? And also, there will be a board which will consist of five from this side, five from that side. This whole thing does not make sense at all, Chairperson. And we cannot accept such things. because we are making sense here in this committee. I believe that we are sitting in this committee as people who are making sense. Now we can approve things which are not making sense at all. I don't just want you to use the word nonsense because it won't sound right. But this is not right. But the reality is this thing is exactly that way. So, no, sorry for that, Chairperson. But it does that, Chairperson. Okay, I withdraw. Chairperson, it's just that sometimes it's very, very boring to come in to this committee to continue to discuss things like this while we've got serious issues which the South Africans are waiting for us to come and sort out here. This bill, we reject it, Chairperson. We reject this IMO bill, we reject it with the content it deserves. It must not come, it must not see light, it must not exist. We don't want it. We said that as a committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Chair. Chair, when a barrel of a gun is on top of your head pointing at you, it's very dangerous, because it will make you do things you will have to regret in the near future. When we entered into a democratic South Africa, negotiations included a lot of compromises because everybody wanted to see a peaceful South Africa. Even wrong things like entering into contracts that would last 50 years, you can't review them. Now, we are told here that load shedding is today. Yes, we agree, and South Africans are feeling it. But we don't want to be irresponsible and allow a barrel of a gun to make us take irresponsible decisions. Now, what do I mean, Chair? Let's look at the funding of IEMO, how it wishes to be funded. It is contemplated that the Chair, IEMO will have borrowing powers and that the state may grant loans to IEMO from monies made available by Parliament for that purpose. We every day hear about Eskom wanting bailouts and so forth. And here, it's even legislated that, it's even proposed that this will happen, even before we start. To me, it's problematic. It further says other funds of IEMO will come from, one, funds acquired by IEMO in the performance of its function. Two, from shareholder contributions approved by the Minister of Finance, and three, such other funds as may be approved by the Minister after consultations with the Minister of Finance. Now, where is the problem? The problem is Section 36 sets out possible funding sources, and Section 37.7, amongst other provisions in the bill, permits borrowing by IEMO, but Section 36 provides no assurance as to state funding, and although it lists shareholders' contributions approved by the Minister of Finance as a possible source of funding, it is not clear whether such funding will be forthcoming. Now, the lack of information in the bill about the identity of possible shareholders, and how these shareholders will be determined, in itself provides or adds into this uncertainty part of what is proposed for us as South Africans. you see, here we are confronted with a situation where you have an aspiring entity that wants to go alone, but it needs resources from the state. Both funding and the infrastructure in place. Doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense at all, Chair, that we should support that. Oh, okay. So, Chair, with that, I am still going to say this. You had ISMO that had undergone public hearings and all sorts of testing that a bill should undergo. Why would we have a problem going back to ISMO if we agree that EMO is something that is building into what ISMO was saying? Because if you see something that ISMO was proposing and you see that it needs to be reviewed, it may suggest that you are saying today what people out there were saying may not necessarily be the same today. And to put that into a test, you bring the same bill and go back to the people and hear what they are saying. Don't be the representative of people whom you have not gone back to check whether they are still of the same view that they expressed in 2012 and where they may differ with what they said in 2012 today. Let's go and test it. So, Chair, we can't support any aspect of this bill before we go back and see whether our people are still in agreement or in differing with the ISMO bill. Thank you.
Okay. Let me give you, Honorable Madam, I was just thinking, but let me allow you. I was going to come first just to get clarity on the discussion, but let me allow you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I have no objection to what Honourable Mashale is saying about going back to public hearings. We have to go back to public hearings. That's the process that gets followed with any Bill of Parliament once we decide that we are moving forward with it. I have absolutely no problem with that. What I have a problem with is this committee deciding before they've considered the inputs from the public that this bill must be rejected. What I have a problem with is that people are racializing this debate without considering the fact, and here I'm looking at Honourable Mtsinjane, who said that minorities are seeking to take over and privatize Eskom. That's not what this is about. This bill seeks to put a public-private partnership, and we have hundreds of those in South Africa, hundreds of them, in charge of the transmission of electricity, not the generation, the transmission. Now, I want to pick up on a few things. The first is that EMO does not do anything to the IRP. The IRP is about where we get our electricity from. In other words, the sources of electricity, the generation of electricity. It's about the generation of electricity. This is about the management once it's been generated, where it gets purchased from, how it gets transmitted, how it gets distributed. It basically says that we will buy from anyone who produces and sell it to the municipalities and the large producers. That's what it says. We can't then say that this seeks to do something that the IRP does, because it doesn't. It seeks to make the implementation of the IRP easier. Right now we have a problem that we have a number of power producers who cannot provide extra electricity to the grid because they are waiting for determinations. This would make it easier. Right now we have municipalities that are ready to purchase directly from power producers that they can't do. And so their residents, their businesses, etc., suffer from load shedding because they're waiting for determinations. This would make that easier. So to answer, oh, he's gone now, Honorable Kula, about in whose interest, it's in the interest of the people of South Africa, it's in the interest of the businesses of South Africa, it's in the interest of creating employment in South Africa. We seem to forget that we have 10.4 million unemployed people. And every day of load shedding, that number goes up because businesses are no longer able to function. People are getting retrenched because their businesses, the businesses that they work for, aren't willing or aren't able to stay active. As far as giving the Eskom restructuring a chance, we've seen nothing, absolutely nothing. It was announced a year ago. And we've seen no plans on Eskom restructuring. We've seen no plans on how it's going to take place or when it's going to take place or if it's going to take place. We heard the Eskom CEO contradict the original proposal and say that he would rather divisionalize Eskom. Now, frankly, this isn't about keeping control under a company that we keep pouring money. And Honorable Maswale, it's about we pour money into Eskom with no interest charged, no return on that money. We just pour it in there and it goes down into that hole and we never see it again. And that brings me to what the relevant sections of the Emo Bill talk about. In Section 33, it says the state represented by the minister, first of all, may grant loans. It doesn't say he must grant loans to Emo, and that Emo will pay interest on those loans at a rate determined by the minister. In other words, this is not an unsecured loan. It's not a loan that doesn't bear interest. It is money that must be repaid, and it's money that must generate interest. There was also a comment, I'm just trying to see who said it. No, it doesn't really matter. About it was Honorable Nomalo, that the funds and about the transfer of assets to Emo. But it doesn't just say assets. It says assets and obligations, rights and liabilities. So it's not just the assets that are being transferred, it's also the debts that are associated with those assets. Now, we all know that Eskom has a 450 billion rand debt that it cannot service. We know that. I'm not saying anything that nobody here doesn't know. So a chunk of that will be transferred to Emo, and they will have to service that debt. Because this bill makes them a financially responsible organization. Then, Chair, there was a comment made about the identity of shareholders. I don't know who's going to buy the shares. I have no idea. It could be anyone. We can't decide in a bill who the shareholders are going to be. I mean, that's crazy. But be that as it may, like I said up front, we can look at making a government shareholding part of this. I'm not going to fall on my sword to say it must be 100% private. What I will do is say that we can't keep doing the same thing and expecting Eskom to recover. We can't keep saying that Eskom is the solution to our problems when quite clearly it's not. We can't keep expecting ESCOM to add generational capacity to the grid, because ESCOM has no money to add generational capacity to the grid. The only realistic source in the short term of adding generational capacity to the grid is from independent power producers. And we have nothing in place at this stage to manage the purchase of power from independent power producers. And that's what this bill seeks to provide. So let's engage the bill rather than engage ideologies. Let's engage ideas rather than ideologies. Let's dig into this and say, how can we make it work? How can we make South Africa's electricity sector better? How can we sort it out and keep the lights on? Because right now we're failing. And it's not about any particular interest. All I want is for every South African to flick on a light switch and the lights come on, or turn on a plug and their machine starts up. Because right now, we can't do that, and we have no guarantee that we can do that. And if we keep on the trajectory that we're on, ESCOM will collapse within the next few years. So, Chair, I really want to urge this committee to allow this bill to go forward to a public participation process, and then to consider how it would amend it to make it workable palatable to everybody. But as it stands, we can't keep going with what we've got right now. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, like I said, I was going to make a comment. That's why I allowed you. Now, let me first make this thing clear, honorable members. The procedure we're following is what is required by Parliament to do. There is nothing wrong for the committee to deliberate on the presentation that was made here. So it is not wrong for the committee to deliberate. That's why we outlined, even the last time we said, when the department has responded to the bill, the committee will deliberate. We will come to the process after agreement or disagreement, what has to take place. No one can avoid public participation, no one, but we will have to do everything according to what are the rules and the guidelines. That is why I said we brought the parliamentary legal services so that whatever we do in terms of procedure. So when it comes to procedures and process, I still believe sitting here I'm correct. Now, let me come to the point I wanted to raise. You know, when you chair, the worst thing you can do is to think you know when you don't know. I know English is nice. When members debate, I'm beginning to learn. But I like the other one that my rural background sometimes helps me on so that I know, so that members can help, because the danger is when you don't know, you pretend you know. I just want members to assist me so that when sometimes I need to talk, maybe Honorable Malam can assist from that side. There is what is called generation. There is transmission, there is distribution. And when I listen, and even the last comment makes me ish, I was trying to say to the secretary, let's look at what the rules maybe today allow when it comes to conference. Because my fear is that I'm asking myself, is the bill, so that we must be upfront, honesty is the best thing. I sense sometimes, are we discussing the dissolution or the liquidation of ESCOM? Let's just be honest. And see, as we sit here, because when I look at the sense, it puts ESCOM as if it doesn't exist, ESCOM must not exist. And so that the committee can start to ask that question, do we have capacity to decide on ESCOM, that ESCOM becomes absolute? Because I that's why I said I want to put it up front to say, so that when I'm sitting here, oh, what becomes the status of ESCOM? So that we know we're saying, so, because from a committee point of view, and from what is, because there are means, there are attempts that are being done on the one side, and the investment that are being made on ESCOM, do we then say, no, we don't need ESCOM? ESCOM must go, because from generation, it's going to be out, it's clear. Transmission is no longer going to be part of it. Distribution goes to municipality. So in Israel, I want us to be able, for me, I don't like to, as I said, English is too, it's very nice to go, but when in Israel we might be discussing the liquidation of ESCOM, that ESCOM is no longer relevant, it cannot be utilized for any forms of energy sustainability and energy supply, specifically electricity. So that, because the reason I'm saying so is that then the point that probably public enterprise committee will raise in, they then have probably a genuine concern to say, but why then can't we be given an opportunity to hear this thing? Because I'm not sure when, from where I'm sitting, we'll take a decision to say, because ESCOM is part of a public enterprise subcommittee. Now, when we discuss about the future of ESCOM, where we say we take away and ESCOM should be declared, but non-existent. So I thought I must get that part, because the difference it could move then, where it may not be ideological, the difference could move from a point that others say ESCOM can no longer be saved. Just take out the, what do you think when a person is brain damaged? You just take up the machines. This thing is dead, it will never survive. Others say, no, there is still life here. You need to put in 1, 2, 3. And quite clearly, that could be the fundamental issue. So I thought, if you can help me, Honorable, because I want us as a committee to be clear. I saw you, Honorable Maling and Honorable Tesha. I just want, from where I sit as a chairperson, to know that probably this could be a declaration of a liquidation or ESCOM as a non-viable. And therefore, I'm asking, where then does the committee, do we then say we act contrary to what is taking place? Probably, if you can help me, Honorable, I'm not singling you out, any other member who wants to make a contribution on that thing. But from a chair's point of view, somebody will come and say, you are too big. Now you are discussing because finance department, they are dealing with the issues of unbundling of ESCOM. The public enterprise committee sitting on the issue of the roadmap towards the restructuring and of ESCOM. Probably the president, state of the nation, still talks about the hope for ESCOM to make a turnaround. There are investments that have been made to ESCOM, whether by bailout or private government and so forth, outside South Africa. I know that, if I'm not mistaken, they still have even a loan from the BRICS Bank and many others, China and so forth. So I just want to get that clarity so that probably we may consider another approach if that is what you are suggesting.
Okay. Honorable Madam, Honorable.
Yes, Chair, I just want to answer the question.
I asked the question, that's why I said I'm referring to
you. Have the answer for that question.
Madam, the answer for the question, Chair, no, can I share my meeting? That's why I said initially I wanted to come before him, but I allowed it so that I can give this clarity. Please.
Chairperson, the bill is very clear that it would not liquidate ESCOM, that it would only seek to take over the transmission side of ESCOM, which is one portion of the business. and that Eskom as an entity would retain all of the generation. In other words, it would keep all of the power stations, and it would carry on as an ordinary generator of electricity. EMO would buy electricity from Eskom, amongst others, but it would buy electricity from Eskom.
Honorable Malinga, Honorable Mtendana, Honorable Phillips, any other one? Honorable Matawane.
Chairperson, as the member of this committee, it's my right when something does not sit well with me to say, no, I disagree. I disagree with this bill. Public hearings or no public hearings. Your clarity-seeking question, Chair, is spot on. This EMO bill is nothing but a sham. Chairperson, it's concentrated on metros. Metros, you can see their structure. It's metros at the top. What about municipalities that are not metros? What then? What happens to them? And I still maintain, Chair, why are we not giving the roadmap of Eskom and everything that is set in that roadmap? Why do we want to just dump this bill in the middle of this? All of us seated here, we know that Eskom is in trouble. And it's not a new thing. This bill comes while Eskom is in trouble. Eskom started to be in trouble 8 years ago. It's not a new thing. Why now should we be seized and see the palpitations? Now our hearts have to pump blood so fast that we can even collapse because of this pain. They say the EMO functions act as a trader of electricity in line with government policy. Is that not what Eskom is currently doing? I'm really lost. You're saying you're not liquidating Eskom, but you're taking Eskom's function. What is it that we're doing here? It's contradictions.
Nabang
pendula
manje. Mbuzwa. It's fine when you do it, but it's not fine when I do it.
Hey, put away.
Honorable member, you know, I said I was still praising you. I said one day I would sit in this meeting, allow you to talk to each other, and when you are finished, you come back to me and give me my meeting. Can we? I know Joshua is going to be in the way. Probably their first job now might be you, so please let's not do that. Can we take what dealing with a serious matter here? That's why I was asking that question. I'm beginning to see the magnitude of what is in front of us. Continue, Honorable Mali.
Objects of the bill, Chair, the last bullet, allow metropolitan municipalities to purchase electricity directly from electricity generators. What about the people of Kun? What about the people of Ligo, where I come from? We don't have a metro there. Mpumalanga has no metro.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson, once more. Chairperson, this issue here sitting before us, it's a very straightforward issue. We are a committee, and then we are saying we are rejecting this. Straightforward answer. Now, my colleague here is saying that we are preempting before the public hearing and all those things. But he is busy doing the same. He's busy advertising this before the public hearing also. So as much as you answered it correctly there, say, Chairperson, that we've got a right also as a committee to tackle this issue before us. It's within our rights. So, because we can speak about this IMO bill for the whole day, but the answer would be no. Because if you check here, they say its function, because we are busy quoting here what they are saying here, its function also, one of its functions is to take full ownership and manage the electricity grid of the Republic of South Africa. Well, this is a simple English. We all understand what it says. So it wants to take over. In other words, Eskom must die, then this one comes alive. And it's what we are saying. That cannot happen, not under our watch. The fact that there is load shedding, yes, we know there is load shedding. But we are saying that very same load shedding, it's because of these things like immobile that is giving us a hard time of load shedding, because they are doing it deliberately. Because Pilutawana Diababa, since Uri, Mundo Mnyama, how can he run the country? So they still want to prove, would, no one can run this country, they can only run this country. And we cannot allow that, because once we allow that, no one will have electricity, especially the poor and the suffering masses of South Africa, who send us here through their vote that we must come and represent them and not allow such things like private issues. Whether you call it private, public, whatever it is, but the fact remains, the word private there is the one that we don't want. And it's the one that the people of South Africa didn't want. They proved that they don't want private things in 1994. I said it earlier on. When they gave this government the mandate to rule this country through democracy. Now we can't listen to a certain group of people somewhere who are sitting somewhere and want to install IMO bill to us. And then we agree that. What about the masses of South Africa who are in turn going to suffer? As much as my colleague said it correctly there, that they are concentrating on the metro, it's true. I was not aware even then. I checked it now here. I realize it's true. And then we would play. In South Africa, we don't have metros all over the country. We have places, some provinces without metros. And then what about those people? So in other words, this IMO bill is here to cater for a certain specific people in a certain specific place, which we can't allow. South Africa is South Africa for everybody. When we create law in this parliament, we are doing it for everyone. All the people of South Africa are important. That is why their vote, all of them are important. It's not that we are here in parliament because the people from the metros has voted for us. No, all the people of South Africa has voted for us. That's why we are here. So they are all equally important. So we can't create system that will only cater for certain people and not cater. This thing, we are reversing back to this issue of apartheid, Musie. The very same issue which we crashed in 1994, we are going back to it again. These people are driving us back to apartheid. Now you must remember, they are the poor of the poorest in this country. So those people, in other words, are not mentioned yet. Only rich people will be able to buy electricity or such a thing. Even now, as we speak now, for our poor people, it's difficult. And then, as a committee, we are also saying, okay, it's fine. Let's bring new ideas, which will see our people get electricity less, and also let's bring new ideas that will finish things like load shedding, all the stuff. And the ideas is nothing to do with private. Those ideas that we must bring here will never have to do anything to do with the private. Private thing, we don't want to see it, and we know for sure that this is the idea of a certain people who want to see Eskom dead. Eskom, SAA, if I may say, all those entities. They want to see them dead because they want to bring this issue of private. We cannot allow that, Chairperson. As this committee, we are responsible. We are a responsible committee taking responsibility for our people. So we can't allow it. It can't happen under our nose. We are saying we are rejecting this thing as a committee. We will never allow this e-mobile. We don't want it. Whether it goes to for a memorandum somewhere, I know for sure people will never want it as well. The people of South Africa will reject this thing as much as they've rejected apartheid. So you can't bring policies of apartheid or system of apartheid in our country. We cannot do that, Chairperson. We are saying we are rejecting it as a committee. We don't want it. We don't want anything to do with privatization of ESCOM. We don't want anything. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
What's the order, Honourable Madam?
Chair, Honourable Ntinjani keeps saying, as a committee, we reject this. No decision has been taken by the committee as yet, and he can't keep making a statement that as a committee, we have taken a decision on this. We still have to take a decision, and I would request that he withdraw those kind of comments.
But it's correct, there is no decision taken by the committee. But what you withdraw is when something is unparliamentary. I can't say that statement. The only thing is that he can't make a collective of the committee. But I don't think it's unparliamentary. It is wrong, though. I agree, the committee has not taken a decision on the matter. And I don't think for now, we'll still have to look at the procedures, whether we take a decision now. We'll get the guidance. Honorable Marshall.
Thank you, Chair, again. One thing that, and Chair, I'm going to raise this very carefully, that I understand where you're sitting as a chair. It sometimes becomes very difficult. But this bill, some of us came prepared to engage on it, not to respond to other people's views. I felt uncomfortable when you gave after we've spoken, so that Honorable Malam responds to each and every person who made a submission rather than making a submission. I found that out of order, but I thought, let me not raise it because probably it's how in different platforms where we come from we get orientated. But I found it very bad for engagement rather than making a submission that you probably had weeks and months to prepare for. You instead respond to people. We are going to avoid to do that. Just to correct one thing, Chair, because when people agree with you and distort what you are saying, it becomes a problem. I said, Chair, we must go back to ISMO and take it for public participation. I never said EMO to public participation. I said ISMO, the initial one that had went there. And the rationale behind that was, we can't as a committee say what people said and made submissions on in 2012. We are sure that we have authority to change for them without them making a review of what they had said before. I said ISMO, not EMO. I just thought that's very important, Chair, when we agree with each other, we know what we agree with, so that when we take it and the minutes are correctly captured, Chair. But we raised our hands, Chair, to respond to your question. To me, Chair, the question would, that you are raising would be what Comrade Kula has, Honorable Kula has characterized as putting a horse. You said what, Comrade Kula? Yeah, that statement. We are saying, cut before the horse. Now I'm saying,
don't want you to be quoted,
yes, I'm saying, in the question, Chair, let's look at what is parliamentarily acceptable to reintroduce ISMO so that we avoid undermining the people's voice out there who made submissions before. But secondly, Chair, to make sure that even public enterprise as a department, as well as the finance committee, because most of the things that are introduced here will need the Minister of Minerals with the Minister of Finance to make a view on how we must move and allow the process of unbundling to proceed. The underwriter of Eskom was hired because we were told constantly that he was hired to unbundle Eskom in the manner in which the roadmap is structured, not any other thing. If he has stood somewhere and said he rather do what he it's not our business. It's the business of the minister and under the rate. We are saying the roadmap has been presented to us. We have been told that there is somebody who has expertise, who has been hired to come and unbundle Eskom. Let that happen in the manner in which we have accepted it. Thank you.
Can I make this suggestion? But let's start. I'm not sure. I don't understand to discuss things that are impossible. At this stage, what is in front of us is the EMO bill. Although it complicates matters because from the its introduction, it also talks to the ISMO bill. Now, the legal gurus will have to find a way to help us because maybe you will respond now. If you can, you can help us. That because our constant referral, and if there is one thing I can tell you, you all agree. On that one, you all agree. The constant referral of EMO with ISMO, you seem that one, I'm definitely sure. If we were to look, no one disagrees. Now, I want us to go to, we have heard the views of members. Now, one of the things we have to check is that, is it really, really the same? Because that constant, I'm just saying, well, one of the things we'll have to go back and look at the rules is, if we go for public hearing, because I fear South Africans when they come back and say you ran public hearings on the same matter, you say you are carrying a similar matter, you still want to go and run public hearings, at what cost? I'm just saying, because it's not them, it's us who make a referral on a process. So we'll have to go and look at that. But that's not, in my view, at this stage, there is no ISMO bill. It's not on the table. If it does get introduced in whatever form, we will deal with it at that time. So I was trying to check at the rules. What do they say? Can a member or a department introduce a bill? It's fine if it was withdrawn, it can be introduced, but it can introduce a bill when there is a similar one that is on this subject. I'm just saying, those are the technicalities we'll have to deal with them, including the issue of the process. But I think it will be fair. I must say, I'm convinced, I think it will be fair although the conferral here, as it talks to that you can confer a matter to another committee, it actually means you take it out of your jurisdiction. I don't think that's what you want. But can I add the committee that because this matter goes so deep, it doesn't have to put it joint, it goes so deep, we give an opportunity to at least two committees, how they handle it, I think it's for them, to just give them an opportunity. The Committee on Public Enterprise as well as Finance, and say, can you look at this and be able to come back? And then next week, we must find time. Can you help us? Because we need it in writing. The Legal Services, together with the Secretary, yet, must come back, whether it's options, whether it's what, come back and see. In the event, I know there's only one part that I know, and it doesn't block. That's why I said don't explain. I don't think it doesn't block, if I'm legally correct. It doesn't block public hearing. But at the same time, it may not approve public hearing. Where it says you may not approve or committee may not agree on a bill on the basis of desirability. So we want you to present all these options of what to follow. I said anything I do, I want to be legally correct. I'm not sure, I will not speak to the committee, but in my view, it will be correct that at least we must please share some elements. That committee, I'm just making an example, I'm not saying it will do. That committee may say we take this matter very seriously. Probably from where we sit, we will invite again the member. I'm not saying they will do it. We invite the member to share, or we will just invite the department or whoever relevant to look at this and present to the committee. We may not be there, we won't be there at the same time. But I think it would be fair just to make it a point that we reference them. I don't think the rules disagree in doing so. Because in my view, it does affect them. It does affect what they are dealing with. Probably you can call it a matter of internal consultation. Or if they say, no, we don't have a problem, continue, or it's okay, we will still continue with our work in the manner that we process it. And then we come next week, we then, if possible, like I always remind that this, I was told by one professor, don't question the law. You must ask the law. So depending what we get legally, we will discuss or we will follow the procedures that Parliament guides us. If they come back and say, you still have to do more, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do. If they come back and say, still discuss, we will look at who still has got stamina to continue. If they say you discuss to agree and disagree, probably we'll have the shortest meeting because we'll just say who agrees, who does not agrees, who agrees. So don't go out here and say who agrees. So who agrees, who disagrees, maybe that meeting will take only 10 minutes. If that is the option in front of us, we will deal with that thing in that manner. Do you agree, honourable members, on that procedure, honourable Milan?
Chair, I have no problem with that procedure. I just think that we need to make sure that we understand that there are some factual errors that have been communicated here that I do think need to be corrected. And I'm not talking about you.
Can I correct them? Can I take 2 minutes to correct them?
You know, I'm a very generous person. All that I'm saying, if we agree on the procedure, it's okay. Now, because you've gotten in it, because when you correct, the other one is going to come back and correct. I will allow that one. Mm-hmm. But before you do that correction, I'm saying you do. Any second on the procedure? Honorable Maling? Okay, sure. Now I can relax.
Honorable Madam.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to correct what Honorable... Chair, I just want to correct what Honorable Malinga said about this excludes other municipalities. It does not. It talks about allowing metros to purchase directly from power producers. In other words, metros that meet certain criteria would be permitted, if they want to buy from other power producers. It does not say that other municipalities can't do it. It just shortcuts the process. And what would have to happen for other municipalities is that the provisions of the Electricity Regulation Act, Section 34 of the Electricity Regulation Act, would have to be complied with. So it doesn't exclude ordinary local municipalities or district municipalities. All it does is say those areas that are very heavy users, like metros, that have high concentrations of population, like metros, that have high concentrations of industry and business, like metros, that meet certain criteria, can shortcut the process on an annual basis. Now,
When Honorable Malinga spoke, we were here. That's why we heard what she said. And she did not say what is said to have been what she said. She said it would technically say it includes other municipalities because they don't have capacity. And the criteria that the Honorable Member is speaking about, she did not say it excludes municipalities. You see, the problem with correcting people is that we'll correct you as well.
Can I do this because I made that commitment? Continue, Honorable Mylem, but that's why I said members will respond when you say this correcting. We'll start the meeting afresh. Continue.
Chair, the other issue that I need to correct is the definition of the grid. Now, the grid is defined in the Electricity Regulation Act, and it talks specifically to the transmission element of South Africa's electricity sector. In other words, it does not talk to the power stations. So what Honorable Nsinjani was saying when he said that taking full ownership of the grid is going to result in Eskom being destroyed is not true. Eskom would still own its power stations. So that needed to be corrected, that the definition of grid only refers to the transmission structures of the electricity sector. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am...
You will correct it until the end of the meeting.
Yes. I have decided to be... not to allow myself to have palpitations like other people in the committee. Chairperson. The presentation, ibhalwe metros, angazi noma ngisangena ora ngiboni. It's written metros. They say you go to this presentation, current structure, IPP generation, imports, proposed structure, metros. Kuluma ente la? Okay. Start. I don't know whether they were having the palpitations that I'm saying, the writers of this. presentation. Because you don't have to explain. You see a presentation, if they were including other municipalities, they could have said municipalities. Shut up.
Okay, point of order. You see, where should I make an order? Because the member is speaking. You then respond to the member when he's speaking, not through the chair. When the member reacts to you, the chair must come in.
Okay, on a point of order.
Honorable member.
Honorable member. How do I rule on an order when the person...
Chair, I haven't made the point of order yet.
No, but you, what is your order?
Chair, first of all, the point of order is that heckling is permitted in terms of the rules of Parliament, but shut up is unparliamentary.
Can I help you? What is not allowed is when the member is on the podium, you don't speak through the chair. If you wanted to respond to her, you should have spoken, raise an order like you do and say, can I clarify? Now, the member is speaking. You speak not through the chair. When the member does something wrong, you then want the chair to come in into your protection. That's exactly what I was correcting before. I said, if we treat each other with respect, including myself as a chair, now how do I rule on an informal matter? Because it becomes informal. It was never allowed by me in the first place. So I can't rule if I can't rule. First, you must withdraw the push. If we're to do that, you must withdraw the fact that you made a statement to the member in response when he was speaking, not through the chair.
And Chair, I withdraw the fact that I responded directly to the member.
It's true, Honorable Malinga, because now I'm sitting as a principal. Honorable Malinga, can you withdraw the word shut up?
Withdraw Gutatule.
Do you withdraw the word shut up?
I withdraw Gutatule.
Okay.
U shut up Gutatule.
No, you withdraw.
You withdraw Gutatule.
Continue then.
Chairperson, it's just that we agreed on the procedure. I no longer want to talk now. I am reserving my comments after the legal gurus have brought the procedure to us. We have the manager. It's 2020, the new year. And we assist with this discussion, Chair. And we assist with this bill in front of us. We will do what is in the best interest of the people of South Africa. Thank you, Chair.
I just want to plead with you that after you have made or asked us a question whether it's acceptable or not acceptable what you have asked us, whether it's the correct procedure or not, you shouldn't allow what appears to be superior knowledge and not logic, superior knowledge coming from somebody. Because once you allow responses that comes to us as members from another member at the end, that's actually a summary of some superior knowledge. And this committee, I can sit in this committee and accept that there's somebody somewhere alone who holds superior knowledge against others when they have debated. Superior knowledge came when we were debating. And you can't tell which one was superior. That's why we're saying let's have this process of testing it through a process. But when you allow somebody to respond to all of us, it triggers the fact that probably this person is granted that he has a superior knowledge, and then we must sit here and listen to that. Now, I want to plead with you, Chair. I know you want to be democratic because sometimes it's difficult for you to chair there because of unruly behavior that is happening here. But I really say, Chair, when you have ruled, some of us keep quiet not because we can't heckle. We keep quiet because we respect the Chair. But if you want to open everybody saying whatever they are saying, Chair, we will lose what we are doing now, which is respect to the Chair, and speak directly to other members. And I don't think you should allow that, Chair, with all due respect.
Honourable members, you know, that is why I made the process that was supposed to follow. But I could see, members, you see, that is my only weakness, that I want people to see what they do. You see, now, we're no longer discussing, and I knew, that's what I was trying to correct. We're no longer discussing what is the bill. We'll end up discussing our attitudes. And I can't allow the meeting to degenerate on that matter. If, as I was asking, we say legal services and the secretaries, we have not concluded what the committee say. We'll come back next week, present to the committee what are the options available or procedures to follow. If members still have got an issue now on the substantive points of the bill, they will still raise them on the meeting on Monday, even as a democratic chairperson, even on matters arising, if they feel so. Can we now put the matter to rest? Yes?
Chair, I'd just like clarity. So at that meeting next week, we're going to have a parliamentary legal advisor there, and we can check with the parliamentary legal advisor about what this bill actually says and what it doesn't say.
Let me protect them. They will tell us the procedure on a bill of this nature that has to be followed. For an example, they may come back and say part of the procedure is that we must go to public hearing. Public hearings sometimes are twofold. One, which would be the one that says they can only be confined in Parliament, or is public hearings that will take us out to go and listen. But also they will say, is there a possibility, because of the nature of the structure of the bill, how it introduces itself, it makes reference to ISMO. If that is the case, ISMO has already done public hearing. So they will only speak on the procedure and legal matter that related to the case.
If I may. Sorry, if I may, one of the sticking points seems to be what is allowed as far as municipalities is concerned from a legal perspective. In other words, does this exclude? No, I'm trying to help us go forward here, Chair. Chair, please. Sorry,
Chairperson.
Everyone's interrupting me here.
No, Chairperson, we can't be old ransom here.
I'm trying to make a proposal.
Honourable, the issue of the bill, whether municipalities or what, is a substantive matter.
Yes.
That will arise if they say we go to public hearings. It will be dealt with there. It's not for them to tell us what to do with the contents of the bill. So let's leave that issue. If, for instance, they say, the bill, its committee can decide whether the bill is desirable or not, and it may not go to public hearings. That issue will be dealt with by the committee in its agreement or disagreement.
Chair, my point is this, that the desirability of the bill needs to be debated. That's something that we, as a
yes.
committee, need to debate.
Yes.
In order to debate, we need to have common knowledge and understanding of what the bill actually says. And we seem to have a disagreement over what it says. So I'm trying to propose a way forward where we get an unbiased, independent opinion as to what it actually says. That's all I'm trying to do here.
No. Honourable Mylan, that you must suggest when we did, you can't abdicate your responsibility as a member of the committee to another person because his objectives from outside. You are a member of Parliament. Debate that issue here. When you deal with desirability, you will debate that issue here. If we want to get an opinion, you are entitled when you come to the meeting to say, here is a legal opinion that says 1, 2, 3. But we can't sit here and say the committee of parliament will commission some. You are members of parliament. But you can make that proposal. I doubt, but even the who's going to pay for that? Can we leave that issue there? Honorable members, can we put this matter to rest? Please. Okay. Can we go to the
next item, please?
No, the food is the minutes, ne? Mm-hmm. It's always the food. Minutes of the... What is it, minutes now? Yes, my mother.
Chairperson, for the purposes of minutes, Secretariat, we are standing by what the chairperson proposed and was seconded on the procedure. The rest should follow. Thank you.
What's that? What are you saying now? 1 minute?
Yeah.
Don't hijack my platform, please. Minutes. 18 February, page 1, page 1, page 2, page 3, any move of the minutes? Any move, Honorable Minor?
Chair, I'm not moving the minutes. I'm moving that there is an error in the minutes.
Yeah.
On page 2, the second last bullet point. According to the department, EMO only refers to metros as customers to EMO. That's not what the department said, and it's not what the bill says, and I think that we need to address that. What the department said was that it discriminated between metros and municipalities. It did not refer to metros being the only customers of EMO.
Okay. Not a transmission. Any move of the minutes? Any second,
second it.
Okay, no matter the rising, can we go to the minutes of the 19th?
Chair, on page 2. I know I have a paper today. Page 2, number 4. It uses Honorable Mahlaule's initials interchangeably. It creates an impression that there are two people who are different.
So it's supposed to be
MG. The other one is M on bullet point 2.
Oh.
So I'm saying for consistency's sake.
So, or instead of saying M.
You rather use M if you want to use M and be consistent with that. You can't use MG and on others you use M because it creates an impression that these are two different people.
Okay. No, protest. Then, any other?
Before we move the minutes, please, man, it's not enough to be an African. This is Pan-Africanist.
Where?
Pan-Africanist Congress. Not Pan-African. It's not enough to be an African. Pan-Africanist. But your roots can only be traced within the borders of Africa.
Those are the only gestures allowed from the chair. Okay, any mover? Any seconder? Mama, down there?
I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Any seconder? Babukun?
Yeah, I'm a cool chair.
Any second?
Okay, sorry, chair. Before the adoption, the plan is here. For the last page.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this issue of this is mine.
What about it?
Yeah, it's not clear.
It's not clear, Chairperson, yeah. What as to it? What is the resolution exactly? Because the last time there was a person who was supposed to appear here, he didn't come. Then I thought the chair said he's going to write a letter to the speaker, but it doesn't say the same thing here. Sorry? Not in the ones of the 18th. We dealt with it in the... Remember, we even gave what is called, on matters arising, we gave what is the process. These minutes, when you see here, they talk to that decision. They only apply the process. Okay. Seconded, Babu Okola, ne? Okay, matters arising, let me help you on matters arising. Your last bullet that you were concerned. We did make an application, honorable members. It came back and said parliament at that time will be in session. And there are almost compulsory matters on the agenda. Then there was a suggestion. Oh, let me read it as it is. The application is approved in principle. However, the committee cannot undertake the activity on the date applied for. Important sittings will take place over the next 2 weeks. Attendance, or alternative dates must be considered in consultation. Yes. Now, we then had suggested, because it would have been the first Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday and Wednesday, we are still this waiting for at the actual date. I'm sure before we go, we will know which actual date has been approved. But it means we will work even during recess period. Unfortunately, that's what we have to do. Because the reason is simple. Some of these things are in instruction from the speaker. So we just have to do that. That's point one. Point two, if we is this thing, I will send you a letter. No, honorable Monday. You when you go, I'll come to you honorable. When you go on your section 25, don't bring us into your section 25. You committed this committee without now, but it's for a good reason. This thing is piling up, honorable members. There is a complaint that was referred to honorable Mandel, I'm told, and honorable Tenjan in the northwest in Rustenburg. No, this one said, when I spoke to him, he first spoke to me on the phone.
but they are beginning to pile up. He said I'm told they've written to the speaker, they've written to myself, they've written to, it's a complaint about, yes, it's a complaint about the department that in their own private land, you will see the letter, we said, let's put it to you. In their own private land, they found the mining taking place without any due processes of consultation. So, but my suggestion was that we just write to the department and the minister to just give account and be able to provide proof that proper consultation had taken place with the community and who are those people, including the official responsible for the approval or for the recommendation for the approval of the mining right. I think that's all what we could do, and then present back to the committee in terms of the response, if the committee allows. Honourable Mashal.
No, thanks, Chair. It's on the first matter that is arising. Chair, since last year, we have planned as this committee and approved programs, oversight programs, which the response always came back to say, these dates that we have chosen coincide with important sittings of parliament, and therefore we must change to another date. As a result, we have not done an oversight work except the introductory one that we had in the beginning of the term. What does not sit well with me as a person and as a member of the committee is that while you adhere to that and interact with other committees outside, they will tell you you are in oversight. What is it that applies to this committee that they must be in that house sitting every time it sits because it's important, and that same principle does not apply to others who are members of parliament when they are taking oversight? Because you can't tell us that it's important that we are in the house because it is an important matter that the house needs to discuss. But another committee of parliament goes to an oversight as if their presence is not important in the house. There is inconsistency, and I would suggest
that Chair raises that. I don't know who's speaking of
okay. I would suggest that Chair you raise it formally as raised by members of the committee that we must be treated equally or even more better because we have merged two important and big departments that we must deal with. If you look at the parastatals that we are dealing with, and every time we apply for oversight we are told these things. I mean, I can't sit here, Chair, the whole term speak about illegal miners. I've never seen a mine that is mined by illegal miners, but I have authority to speak about it. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, we'll hear you. All I can safely say is that we will relate the matter. Tomorrow there is a joint chairperson's meeting, all chairpersons of the committee, including the House. I still have to check on the agenda whether that can be sneaked through. But also, I will read individually with the House. I'm not sure whether it will allow a much longer extended period during the reception beyond the 2 days, but for the reception we only have for 2 days. But we will see what is possible. Honourable members, next week, including what we said we will do, it might take long. Next week we have invited next week, which is the 17th, May, we have invited, it's more of, I spoke to the chair,
of NAGSA, who have invited NAGSA, who was the bottom board, just to come and share or brief the committee on what are their vision. It's not an intense meeting. What is their vision? What have they found in NAGSA? And how can the committee assist or whatever? So it's more of an introductory meeting, nothing much. We just want to, obviously they may not come all as a board, but they will come here and be able to share what are the challenges that they found there. So that next time, because the risk is that other members, I forgot to say this, when we come back, probably we'll be coming back with the budget. Right? Now, that is the most intense. Now, to see them on that day, maybe they even have a feeling that, oh, okay, next time when we come, this is the environment that we need. So we've just opened those doors and telling us. And then on, and I put this in the door, the reserve on Wednesday. That, according to our schedule, will be 9:30 to 4 o'clock. Remember, they requested that we extend their time to deal with their turnaround strategy. We extended it and said, submitted on 25th, yeah? And they must be ready to present in February. They made a request, that is 5 years. They made a request to say they still want to do more consultation. We said we're going on the first on the 18th. We can't have any time beyond that because when we come back, we are dealing with the budget. So on the 18th, we want them to be here. So we'll be dealing with the reason I'm sure everyone knows when you meet with us, you need enough time. So we will then be having that meeting as our last meeting in this term until the budget, and then it's not an oversight, this one is an intervention that is given. On that note, Honorable Members, anything? Okay. In light of that, see you next week, Tuesday, with those two items that will be on the table. Thank you very much.